But basically, this is why I sent out yesterday afternoon, because those who'd like to see the, or look at your own copy of the Vayis Ruvain. So there's a copy available on the HebrewBooks.org website. It's actually a better copy than the one I have. It seems to be a more advanced edition, a little bit more accessible in terms of finding the different topics and the like. So certainly worth downloading and having in your possession. It's especially because we're not going to be able to cover everything, so to have as much of that in your rishus as you can has an advantage. So we were basically trying to just fill in one extra aspect. So we've talked about all the different modifications and different directions of the Nehneh principle and where Gilui Das could make a difference. According to the Rishonim, that Gilui Das is enough to offset Zeneh of Zilchaser. According to others, it's not. So we talked about whether you need to have a kinyan in the wall that's making the chiyuv, or are there other ways to address it. And we talked about whether it's a problem if the hana is only in the future. Does it make a difference if the hana is guaranteed or close to guaranteed? And then yesterday we started a focus on this concept of hakafi yisera, that the Gemara and Bava Kamma and Tosfos and Ardaf brings up this idea of hakafi yisera, that it would be considered a chisaron if the individual who's providing the benefit has to do more because of the beneficiary. So that makes it into a chaser case, and the Gemara Bava Kamma said, therefore, Mishnah Dalim Mubeis should be read in that light as a chaser case, should not be taken as any kind of a proof that you could be chayev for a zenan of a low chaser situation. And Tosfos on Daf Hey suggested that that's conceivable within that Mishnah as well, that even though it's less obvious how it's true, but that when you have even that wall in between the two properties in a chatzer, and there's more added on to accommodate a roof, that that also has a chisaron for Ruvain because of the Hakafi Yisera. So trying to understand how Hakafi Yisera works, and we posed the question yesterday of the continuing topic of the understanding of Zeneh of Zelo Chaser, and that when there is a chisaron, it doesn't seem necessarily like it's the chisaron that is being compensated for, but that rather it's about the hana, that the lack of a chisaron or the presence of a chisaron is taken as a indication of whether the hana is significant. Because first of all, we're not going to have a chiyah without a hana, so we need the hana to be there for the chisaron to play a role, so it's already an indication that it's not the chisaron that's making you pay. And also, according to those who say that Gilui Das makes a difference, that also shows you that it's the hana that is the factor. It's just that the hana seems to be defined by whether or not there's a chisaron. And that here, Hakafi Yisera, so that does increase the chisaron or create the chisaron, but it still raises the question of, are you paying for the extra expense? Or are you paying for the hana once there is an extra expense on your behalf? And we discussed the scenario yesterday where somebody is giving a ride and he picks up a passenger who's waiting at the bus stop, and his original thinking was that it's not going to take him out of his way at all, so he's not going to have any additional costs. So he was happy to give a free ride to this guy. But then it turns out that the path actually was a longer path in terms of traffic and the like. So there were extra expenses. He's paying for a taxi. There were extra expenses for the provider here. So does he have the right to say, okay, here you have a kafi yisera, you have extra expenses, and you also have gilui das, because this guy who was benefiting was originally sitting at a bus stop. He was ready to pay for this ride. And we showed that it's different than the Gilui Das in our Mishnah. In the Mishnah, our Gilui Das was about the beneficiary being happy that this project is happening. But the Gilui Das in the scenario we're describing now is about the fact of payment itself, that the individual who was sitting, Shimon, who was sitting at the bus stop, showed that he was willing to pay something. So the question is, should we only consider it what he's willing to pay? Or should we consider it as charging him for whatever costs that he provoked through his extra involvement? So
that's basically the brief recap of what we had gotten up to yesterday. Does that make sense? Everybody with me? Okay. So with that, let's pick up from there. So this in this old version of Beis Reuven, this is several simanim. It's organized a little differently if you go online and you get the newer version. But this topic basically involves a lot of extra details. So what we saw yesterday was he started to say that even though there was this additional cost that was provoked by the beneficiary, still we don't make him pay for the cost, we make him pay for what was his indication, what was that he displayed that he was ready to pay. So it goes on to say here that in our case, so since Shimon thought that he was never going to be paying for a taxi in this scenario. So when he showed that he was willing to pay something, to pay for a bus, so we can't make him pay for the taxi fare, even though he ended up bringing about an increase in fare with all the traffic. So all he should have to pay is what he was indicated to be ready to pay. And otherwise, it goes back to a situation of Zenen of Zelochasa. So how do you come to that conclusion? So he goes on to explain it in the further continuations. So I'd given you to look at the Shulchan Aruch in Kufnun Ches Vav. And there was a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah concerning a case where you have four fields that surround someone else's field. And the first guy built a fence that divides between him and the public and the Rishus Rabbim, not between him and the guy in the middle. And through doing so, he therefore builds a fence around himself and Shimon and the guy in the middle. So that bigger fence, so according to the Ramah, we say there, you caused me this extra circuit, you caused me this extra path. And the Bach explains what he means, is that the Nikaf, is that Shimon, only pays the extra expenses that he caused the Makif. And the rest, he's Pater. So it doesn't mean that he has to share in the whole wall. That his benefit is an indication that he's a partner in everything, but rather just whatever his presence necessitated, so that's what he's going to pay for, because on the rest, that's the position of the Bach. However, the Sma, I gave you a look at the Sma also if you had a chance to see, right? The Sma disagrees with this explanation, and he understands that this extra expense that Reuven has to pay, so that makes Shimon have to join in everything. That makes Shimon have to pay more based on whatever his hana is. So I shouldn't say everything, but whatever the hana that he gets based on his percentage of this covered area. So we have a couple of possibilities here. And, you know, the whole question of, are you participating in all the costs of the fence? Are you participating in whatever else you cause? Or somewhat in the middle? So here, the two possibilities we're seeing in this particular scenario is that the Bach is formulating it that you're responsible for the extra expenses that you provoked by existing in that space. While what the Sma is saying is that we go to the cost of what value you get. So your field, by getting this circling, you get a certain value that comes to you. So that's what you should have to compensate. That's what you should have to pay for. Okay, so far so good. Everybody with me? Yes, sir.
Do you mind just explaining what the Machlokes Shulchan Aruch Ramah was exactly?
Yeah. So let's that the Rama says that in this case, let's actually look it together inside. I think Shmuel sent it out yesterday. If I'm not mistaken, this is one of the sources that Shmuel sent out. Maybe I am mistaken.
I think I sent it to Max, so I can post it.
I don't think I posted anything.
This was for the source from the day before, so let's look at it together. This is Kuf Nun Ches Vav. Zach, you'll send it out?
Yeah, one second. Is this it?
Yes. Zion.
What?
Looks like it starts with Zion.
That's all that's all the connections from the... Bar Ilan to different.
Got it. Okay.
Do you
want to
send the Safari version?
Okay, so it's at the bottom here. It starts with above. You sent the whole thing. Okay, so shatvechein manika faatzmo hushagadu ruach revius. So if you have the Reuven covering up Shimon, and Shimon himself is the one who puts up the fourth wall. So then he shows what he's happy about, and he pays half of the cost of all three walls. If it's on their shared land. Again, back to the view of the Rambam on that. So here comments the Rambam. That's all assuming that he's dividing between the two of them. But if the gather is outside, and there's nothing in between them. So if it's a situation where the minig is to make a fence, so then the nikaf doesn't have to pay at all. Even where he does all four. But if he himself did one of the directions. Gali daita de nichale. So then that shows that he is happy about it. So then he has to pay l'fikafima shagarim lo hekef yisera. He has to pay based on what he caused this extra surrounding here. Okay. So that's the position of the Ramah, that he has to pay for when he himself puts the wall there, so then he shows that he has to participate in the extra. And the question is, machlokist in his das, what that means. So according to the Bach, it means the extra expense itself. And according to the Sma, it means the benefit that he gets from it. And he goes into a little bit more detail here on the bottom. And he quotes that the Gemara in Bava Kamma Chaf Amud Beis, which refers back to our Mishnah, so and has that statement that Hakafi Yaseir is the key factor that makes it Chaser. So what emerges from that Gemara, as we've seen, is Zen Nana Vizelo Chaser is Pater. But if you cause extra expenses, so then you are Chayiv. So the Ramban and the Mohammeds over there in Bava Kamma comments that Hamakif Geder Beinolur Shosaravim, that somebody who makes a fence between himself and the public, and the Hakefi Yisera who Mishum Shalideh HaPnimi Hakefi Chitzoni Yosagadol, so the extra expense here is caused by the fact that because there's this guy in the middle, so now the whole coverage is greater, because this guy is taking up space and inflating things. Ukamohu sova ri muva b'tor. It's also the ri that the Torah quotes. Because of alav habach, and the Bach writes regarding that. Buhu niur shir hakefi yaseira she'eno nenabo ella hapnimi l'chude. About kol shar hahekev she'nenabo gam hachitzo l'machayiv hapnimi l'shlome. Shar afilo hayapnimi sham hayosah hakefev. Zeh v'havi le'nenab v'zeino chaser. So the Bach writes that it's only the extra part that the benefit goes specifically to the inside guy. But all of the outside stuff that the outer guy, that Reuven would have had to do anyway, so that, if he would have had to do it regardless of the inside person, so there, that still goes back to the default of Zanin of Lachasa. So it comes out that the position of the Bach is that the Nana only pays for the extra expense. So in our case of the taxi, what's going on? So Shimon would have to pay the extra shkalim that Reuven added to his bill for the taxi because he picked him up. But on the rest, so it goes after you subtract that, so the core expense of the taxi or of the Uber is a zen and a vizelo chasid. We don't say, in other words, that the fact that he did provoke extra expenses makes him a partner in the whole thing. However, the Sma disagrees with the Bach, and the Sma has an additional position here. His language is Rowin Kama Amal Ama Yesh Basad Zuba Primus Lukhud. We measure the area of the inner field. Vim Yeshbo Shlish or Vi Mikola Sados, let's say he's a third or a quarter of all of the fields. So Yitain Keera Chazel Hotza. So that's the percentage he should pay towards the expenses. Which is to say that it's not that he is calibrated based on whatever extra expenses he triggers, but rather based on his hana, which is calibrated to the value of his land. So in our case, so then what does he end up paying? Right, so what does he end up paying in that situation? So however much he benefits personally from this extra trip, so that gets a little bit harder to calculate. We note here that the Shach follows the position of the Bach. And the principle in general is that when the Sma and the Shach disagree, the Halacha is like the Shach, as the Nesivus writes in his Klalim. And normally, he adds here a practical point that we were talking earlier today and before, about Hamotzi Mechaber Lo Haraya and the like. So that also has an impact in general in monetary cases when there's a machlokas, because there is a concept, you have to figure out when it's invoked, that if somebody is a muchzak, not only does he have the advantage that the bagai claiming from him has to prove his position, but he also has the advantage that he can claim a minority position in the halacha. Called Kimli. He can say that I sign up with the position that favors my view, so therefore I'm right.
Can I get that we pass them one over the other?
Sorry?
That's not a
Shachar.
Where do
we
get that from?
That the Nesivus has this in his Klal. His Klali Tfisa.
So it's just going to the Zivus.
Yeah, but that seems to have had an impact.
Or should we pass them like a verse month?
The Shach.
Pass like the Shach versus the Sma?
Yeah.
Is that accepted?
So that's what he's assuming here. That's what he's assuming here. That this has had an impact of Sack. But just to finish the point about Kimley. So even though there's a notion sometimes that the Mukhzak can say Kimley, can say that I follow the view of the minority, so here I should be able to say I follow the Sma. Nonetheless, this Khan Shikama Bach Cholik al Asma, he thinks that he's asserting here that when the Bach also argues with the Sma, so you have the Bach and the Shach, so then that would apply even to give the benefit to the Motzi. That would even overwhelm Kimli. The rules of Kimli are very complicated as to when it's enough of a minority opinion for you to side with, for you to call on your behalf. So you're saying that here, when it's so lopsided, we would still give the advantage to the Motzi.
I just wanted to ask on the principle that you just mentioned. That we go by the Shach, or the Mechel, the Shach, the Sma. Is that just, I mean, I don't know if you have an answer to this, is that like born out of a minhag that he had, that he would hold this way, or something else?
So you could look more at the way the Nesivus expresses it, but presumably it has to do with stature. You know, that the Shach's position as far as, and sometimes you have the same Nosei Kelim, they have different levels of authority on different sections of Shulchan Aruch.
Okay.
So it has to do a little bit with the perception of expertise, and a little bit with how the halacha develops, and a little bit to do with how they are, who they're interacting with. So there are some fascinating implications of this. I'm not going to go into all the pratim now. Maybe it is a topic for a Sunday discussion for a couple of reasons, but it's interesting to see how you move from one chelik of Shulchan Aruch to the next. Sometimes those who are very prominently placed in one chelik have a whole different place in the hierarchy in another chelik in Shulchan Aruch, which has a lot behind it, but a little bit not for now. Yaron?
According to the Sma, how do you evaluate the Hanah you receive exactly?
So it gets. I would have thought that it has to do with what he's being saved, right? So he would have paid for the bus.
Right.
So now he's not paying for the bus, so he saved that much. So that much Hanah should have been calculated, but it could be that there's. Could be there's yet another formula, but that's what I would have thought it would have been. Right? That, but then again, it doesn't correlate at all to the chisaron.
Right, but then maybe it doesn't have to correlate. Wouldn't it be the same as always said earlier, that you would only be able to make him chay for what he technically would be willing to pay for, which
right.
would be the bus or
right.
whatever it is.
Yeah, so what he saved from the, because he was ready to pay for the bus, and now he's
it
not.
Seems like the smile.
So you saved
thing.
Me from that. That's what I would have thought, but we'll read a little further and see that there may be some additional aspects to it. Yes,
Are they? They're trying to define the extra that the Rama says you need to pay.
Yeah.
And so the Baal says you just pay for whatever the damage is. So, i.e., the cost of the of, I guess.
Oh, the extra expense.
The extra expense. Then the Sma would be this benefited from.
Right.
Okay. I just want to clarify.
Right. Now.
And that's done by area. Obviously.
Right. You calculate the in the case of the field, you calculate the area, how much he's getting from this fence.
I don't believe that the area is like the, say it's a quarter of the space is proportional to the extra perimeter that I create.
But that's it's not defined by that.
It's not about actually how much wall is
right.
Built.
It's defined by how much he's benefiting because that much of his field
okay.
is protected.
The Bach would say you figure out what the area is if it weren't in the metal and how much fence you would need for that and how much fence you need
to
take the difference.
The smile would say that.
No, the Bach.
Bach was saying that you pay for what you caused the extra
yeah,
expense.
As if the metal weren't there and you made it into...
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Square
sorry,
and how much you
yeah.
made and how much you now take there.
How much his cost in making the fence was increased. Yeah.
So it's not based on the area of the fields themselves.
Well, according to the Sma, it is. It's based
okay,
on
Sma,
how much...
So the
Sma yeah.
is based on the Bach is just based on how much actual wall.
Right.
Okay.
So, then it goes on to add here, that the Nesivis in Kufnin Chesvav writes that Hatam Bar Dehade Ein Sarach Litein Chelek Rak Mikvi Vashagar V'Hakev Yisera. So he doesn't have to pay for the main expense, he only has to pay for what he caused extra. Kimavur B'Shas, as explained in the Shas. So it seems that he also is disagreeing with the Sma, and he doesn't have to pay for his Hana, because it's still Zenev Zelochasim. And that also seems to be the impression of the Nebuki Yosef on the previous Mishnah in Dalet Amud Beis. Because there, he says, he quotes our Gemara in Baba Kama, and he says, Muchach metahach masnisanami begodar makif beinol bein roshos harabim. I read it as talking specifically where you made the fence between himself and the public. Is also established like that. So it goes on to add here, time of the milsa, the hanana chayev l'sham v'sakefi yaseiru. Right. So what's the reason why the person who benefits has to pay for the extra coverage? Shugarim. So it sounds like from the Nemuka Yosef, that it's because the Nenev is a chaser. Cholzos, ain't Zedoma Lezed Nenev is a lo chaser. It's not comparable to a straight out Zenev is a lo chaser. The Magagum Hakol Bechaser Ktsas. Right, that we have found that elsewhere in Shulchan Aruch it says that if there's a little bit of a chisarim, so then we do make you a full partner. We have to explain a little bit why. It's not exactly in that category. And that's what he's going to continue. He goes on with a little more about this. So let's go a little bit further. So it says, so in our case, Nidon Nidon, the taxi case, so Domo Ladin Shel Rama, this is comparable to the case of the Rama. Mikavan Shanesia Hi Yoser Arucha Beglal Shimon, since the path is longer for Shimon's involvement. And therefore, according to the Sma, Shimon has to pay Chatzi Mishnei Shlish Milas Hamonas. So how exactly do you figure out what that is? So half of two-thirds of the increase of the taxi. Kevin Shimon Verube Nene Bishava, since they share equally in two-thirds of the trip. So he has to pay half of the two-thirds. But according to the Bach, so he only has to pay the extra cost that Reuven increased. So he goes on to explain this further in the next siman, that we've seen that the Rama rules that we have, because of this idea that you caused me an extra expenditure, you have to pay more. So in our case, since the Nesia is longer because of Shimon, so then we should obligate him to pay more. And we saw that the Bach and the Sma argue how to interpret this. However, in our case, Shimon doesn't have to help in the taxi itself. So, Imkein Reuven Shiodeya say, Ein Daito Ludrosh Tashlum Afshe Shimon Ne Nebeshava. So, since Reuven knows this, so he's not interested, he's not intending to demand from Shimon that itself, even though he benefited 50-50 from it. Nimsakias Iker Hanesios and Reuven Rakish Falatzmo, because the trip itself Reuven is doing just for himself and not for Shimon. And therefore, in such a case, it would make sense to say that we should only charge Shimon for the extra hosas of the 15 shkalim, and on the rest he should be putter on the rest of the trip that's not relevant to him, because the rest is what that he didn't cause is Zenana Vizelo Chasu. So that was all based on the interpretation of the Rama. Then he goes on to say one additional piece about this. Says Nishar Lana Levara Dasta Shulchan Aruch, that we have to explain the view of the Shulchan Aruch himself, because in Simen Kufnin Chesvav that we saw, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama disagreed regarding somebody who has four fields around, and Reuven built a fence outside of himself to the public, and not between him and the Nikav. And therefore, when the benefit is to both of them from the outside. So the opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that the Nikav, the one who's inside, is Pater, since we don't say in this context, Arkaramtali HaKefi Yaseir. So Nira Lahazbir, so what we could explain here, is that's because the Makif didn't do anything for the purpose of the Nikav specifically, but rather he did it only for himself to prevent the damage that comes from the outside. And if it were possible to him, for him not to lose anything at all, Nimsa Shagama Hefsid Nitzrach Bishvil Atzmo, so it seems like the expense was only for his own sake. But it was also brought about for the beneficiary. Ulam Hotzah Yaseir Hena Rak Bishvil HaNana, but let's say the benefit was only for the Nana. Let's say the extra only went to the beneficiary. Then, according to everyone, the beneficiary would be chayiv to pay the extra hotzah. So he explains here in the Urim that the Gemara in Bava Kamma and Chav Mudbeis, which told us that if you have the three walls and not the fourth, so then we're not mechayiv him. And we're only mechayiv him with a fourth. And even though that sounds like your chayiv is enav lachaser, the difference is there's extra coverage here. So what that tells us is enav lachaser is pater unless you have these extra expenses. So the Shulchan Aruch wrote, based on the Rambam, that the language of the Shulchan Aruch was mishahayilo churva ben churva shachavero, somebody who has a churva among those of his neighbor, And Amar Chaver v'gadar ruach rishon v'shni v'shlishis, and his friend made the three walls around. Im gadar la ruach revias, if he made a fourth wall, ad shenim sechavasim akef v'zgad, and megagum v'sakol. So then we end up charging him for everything when he has that fourth wall. V'nosin chasi asah shahitzi zeh, u'govad shahiyya makam hakos v'shnim, as long as the space shall be at both of them. As long as the space is for both of them, it's in their shared space. So tzarechiyin, shayreb maskana sagamari shahiyya v'mishim degar v'kefi yaseirim. So isn't that a little bit against the Gemara? Because the Gemara said that the chisaron comes from the fact that he caused him extra coverage. And the Rambam, in his formulation, doesn't have anything about that. Doesn't have anything about extra coverage. So the Beis Yosef, and the Bach, and the Gra, and the Drisha, you know who wrote the Drisha?
Prisha.
Right, the Prisha. You know who wrote the Drisha and the Prisha?
The Sma.
The Sma, very good. So the author of the Sma wrote all three, so it's just important important background. So the Sma and the Drisha, the Prisha, the Drisha, he wrote that Hishvu Shita Sarambam L'Rashi, they equated Rambam's position to Rashi's position. He wrote that since the Geder Hamakif, since Geder Hamakif Mibifnim, Kol Shekein Shehidim V'chutz, since he made the fence inside, all the more so he'll make the fence outside. So therefore, you can assume that that created hakefi yaseira, that created extra burden. So maybe that's the assumption the Rambam's talking about. So that you could just figure out from the scenario that there must be extra coverage. Amnam nirash afilum ein kavanos l'gdar v'chutz klal. But it would seem that even if he had no intention of making a fence on the outside, Rambam and Rashi would agree that there's no difference here. So it seems like the issue is that it's considered nana v'chaser because it's due to him that he did the whole thing. Right? If you made the fence in their shared space between them, so it's because of him that the whole fence exists. So this case is not comparable to the situation that's brought in the Rambam. Dasham Kevan, it's a case that we've been talking about with the taxi. Dasham the Kevan Shamakif Gadim and Elunikov. There, if the assumption is that once he's doing it on the inside, so all the more so he's going to do it on the outside. It means that the one on the inside is really there because of Shimon. Then that's why he has to pay half of it. But in our case, Reuven did not take the taxi to begin with because of Shimon. So it's not going to parallel. And this is also like what the Drisha writes. And his language is, according to the Drisha, of Ev Shalomer, the Rashi v'Harambam, Eino Machayev Kiyim Kishagadar Mibifnim. Their situation is that the wall is on the inside. Da'az Kol Hana Dide Lanika, because then all this Hana is going to the beneficiary, to the Shimon on the inside. And not V'lo Kishagadar Mibichutz, and not when the wall is on the outside. Omachshiv L'Zeh Nenev Zelo Chaser. And in that situation, it's considered to be Zenev Zelo Chaser. So Arimashma Mashakasa Kol Hana Didei. So it seems like with this idea of all the Hana coming to him is like we've explained so far. Va'ot, and further, Ein Hanidon Didon Doma L'Makif Shegader Benelu Ben Hanikav. So our situation of the taxi is not comparable to the Makif who made a fence in between. Vein Kavanaso Ligdar Mibachutz, and his intention would not have been necessarily to make a fence on the outside. Even though Shimon is benefiting from the trip equally to Reuven as much as he's traveling, because in the case of the fence, you could say that that extra fence was done specifically Shimon is there. So the fence is really for both of them. The whole existence was there for both of them. So therefore, he has to pay half. But in the case of the taxi, so Reuven was taking the taxi himself for his own. So you know, Rama, most of all Shulchan Aruch, so the Rama adds on the Shulchan Aruch, as we saw, that if the Shimon adds his own fence, so then he has revealed that he is chayiv to pay based on what he caused this extra space. So you see that he paskins that even when the makif made it between him and the Rosh Hashanah Rabbit, you still have this din of, I caused you to make extra expense. You caused me to make extra expense. And that's like the view of the Ramban, as the Gra wrote. And therefore, the Hakafi Yaseira is because he had to do extra space, not just he had to make the whole wall because of him, but the wall that he would have done otherwise, he has to make bigger. So in our case, then you could say also that the trip is longer because of this, and therefore he has to pay more of what he has to pay based on what Reuven made him add. So here, just to recap those two different perspectives, it says, look back to the case with the walls. Right? So we have two ways to understand the wall situation. That if you say that we're talking about an inner wall, like Rashi and the Rambam. So then the whole wall is there because of Shimon. If Shimon wasn't there, there'd be no wall. And presumably he's also going to want to make an outer wall, but we're not talking about the outer wall. So when you say, you made me do Hakafi Yaseira, so we're talking about the fact that I had to build this whole wall for you. So then, that doesn't really compare to our case about the taxi. Because the taxi situation, Reuven didn't do just for Shimon. Reuven did it for himself. It just ended up costing a little bit more because of Shimon. But, according to the other Rishonim, that the wall is on the outside. So then, what does Hakafi Yaseira mean? Doesn't mean that I made the whole wall for you. I made the wall for myself, but I had to make a bigger wall because of you. And even so, we make him share. So according to that understanding, we would have made Shimon pay for his part in the whole trip here. So you follow that distinction? But we, the Shulchan Aruch, Paskins like the Rambam, like it's the first scenario. So the real idea of the Hakafi Yaseira is the part that is specifically there for the beneficiary. Is that clear? Should I say it again? So basically, to recap, so there's two ways of understanding Hakafi Yaseira per the Gemara in Bava Kamma explaining our Mishnah and Daf Dalet. Right, what does it mean when you say that I had to do more because of you? So in the Rambam's formulation and Rashi's formulation, right, you recall when we saw that Mishnah, there was a Machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos and others, about what are the basic facts. Where is this fence? Is this fence in between Reuven and Shimon? Or is it around both of them? So Rashi had said it was in between them. And the Rambam, we see in Shulchan Aruch, also say that because they need that to be in between them because it has to be on shared land for them to each acquire half of the wall. So if the fence is in between them, and the whole basis of the Chiyuv is that Reuven says to Shimon, you made me do more, what is he talking about? He's talking about the whole existence of this fence that we're discussing. This whole fence that they're forced to split exists only because Shimon is there. So, therefore, we have to split this fence that I built for both of us, but I had to do it because of you. So then, that doesn't really match up with our case here, because the taxi trip was not because of Shimon. Reuven was taking the taxi trip himself. So the only room to get Shimon involved also is not on the whole trip, even though Shimon is benefiting from the whole trip, but it's only on the extra expense. While alternatively, if you maintain against the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch that the fence we're talking about is on the outside perimeter, so then, what does Hakafi Yaseira mean? It means that I had to make a bigger perimeter because you're inside of it. And that alone makes them share 50-50. That'd be a much bigger deal. So if that were true, then you could have said that, listen, because you made me have a more expensive trip, therefore you're obligated in half of the trip. But that's not the conclusion according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. So according to them, Hakafi Yaseira really only means when the whole thing exists because of you and you're benefiting, so then it's 50-50. So since we don't have that standard here, so then we only obligate him what actually was the increase. And the actual increase was this, however it correlates to the delay for the traffic, but not that he has to split 50-50. And the rest, we would say, Zenen Evazelo Chasim. Now, just to add one more point to this, and then you know, that will be the end of our base ravining for now, we move on. Although there was one extra piece that maybe I'll mention a little bit on Sunday, or maybe one piece about how all this impacts on copying tapes nowadays, which is goes off a little bit in a different direction.
Copying tapes or copying MP3s?
Well, now we'll be copying MP3s, I guess, or copying, I guess there's still some kinds of files. So I was thinking of doing that also, but I guess we have to...
Also, like, tickets at games.
So, yeah, there's all kinds of practice. They all relate. You know,
they're all those sites also.
Yeah. I mean, we'll actually have to come back to this anyway because it comes up again later in the parak about Kofan Amidah Stone and the extension of it. So it does come up again. So when I say we're finished for now, we'll maybe bring it in that context. But just to give a little bit of a preview of that, so the whole Zenyan of Zel Chaser issue gets more complicated, as we'll see when we come back to Kofan Al Midah Stom, because that phrase, Kofan Al Midah Stom, becomes intertwined with Zenyan of Zel Chaser. Right? The idea that I'm not allowed to charge for something which I am not losing from. So let's say here that I am going anyway, so the fact that I'm giving you a ride seems to be in that category. So it becomes an important question. This is something we'll have to figure out, that the Gemara in our parak later on is going to identify this concept with Kofan Al Midah Stom. But it's a slightly, or maybe significantly, different type of Zenyan Evazel HaChaser. The Gemara is going to talk about, let's say, there are two brothers who have to split an inheritance. And one of them, it's a land inheritance, and one of them has land that's adjacent to part of the inheritance land. So it helps him to have the half that's next to his existing land, so he can combine the properties. And the other brother, it doesn't help one way or another because he doesn't have any adjacent land. So as long as you're splitting it 50-50, shouldn't make a difference then. So in that context, the Gemara also talks about Zenev Zelochaser, but it's coming from the other direction. That's Lochaser for the other brother because both halves of land are equal. But for the one who has the adjacent land, one of the plots becomes more valuable to him. So there's potential hana to that guy, but there's no chisaron to the other brother. So what if he wants to stop his other brother from getting the land that would have been more valuable for that other brother? So the Gemara considers that in light of this issue, that there's potential hana to somebody else, and you want to stop it, even though it doesn't make your life different one way or another. So it's a different emphasis of Zenyan of Zel HaChaser. And the question becomes that there, if it's considered to enter into stone territory, so what does that say about what we're talking about here? So I remember Rabbi Levine, Zichrono Lebracha, Rabbi Aaron Levine, who's the great Talmud Chacham, who was my teacher and the chairman of the economics department here. So he maintained that if you are driving somewhere and situation essentially similar to what we just saw, but without the extra traffic. So let's say you're on your way from A to B, and you see somebody who's waiting for a ride, or see somebody waiting for a bus, or the like, and you decide to offer to pick him up and to take him, and he doesn't impose any extra expenses on you at all, just as a seat in the car. So can you afterwards say, okay, now pay me? So it would seem on the surface like that's comparable to a straight Zenin of Zelo Chaser. That somebody benefited from your property, but it didn't cost you anything. So in this case, you were taking the exact same trip anyway. So it would seem like there's no justification to charge him. So fine. So that much we get. But what if the beneficiary volunteers to pay? Says, listen, thank you for this ride. Let me split it with you. So here, Rabbi Levine had a big chiddush, which we have to see whether this is the only way to see things. So it's a little bit of a preview when we get to that sugya. But he thought that it wasn't even right, even if the beneficiary offered, still the driver shouldn't accept. Why not? It's because of kofen al midas dom. That indicates it's not simply a lack of chiyuv here, but that it's completely alien to Jewish values. That this is stone-like. And therefore, it's not just that you can't take him to Beis Din and force him, but the whole thing is repugnant. And this is completely contrary to our philosophy. So that's a big chiddush, because it assumes that there's always a correlation between Zenen and Bezel Chaser and Kofen al Midas Dom, which maybe itself is a chiddush, because as we see, there's different points of emphasis. The word can mean the sentence. It sounds like it could mean two different things. Like, I want you to lose, even though it doesn't matter to me. So Zen Nene, you could have been Nene, and it doesn't hurt me at all. So the fact that I stop you, maybe that's Stone-like, evocative of the people of Stone who didn't want to provide any hospitality whatsoever, or even let others provide hospitality. While our case so far, which is really the Bava Kamma case, that it's about wanting to charge for a hana that already happened. So that's not evil per se, it's just not unjustified. It just is unjustified, right? Because everybody wants profit. That doesn't make you stone-like to want profit. It makes you human. The question is, just is the profit justified? So we could say that, listen, you know, because you didn't lose anything in this benefit, so you have no right to charge for it. But if the beneficiary says that, listen, I'm so happy to have got this ride, I'm happy to pay for it, so would it still lead to the same conclusion that that's repugnant to accept? Because of Kofel Midas, would Kofel Midas don't even come into that conversation? So that's something we'll have to ultimately clarify. Are these terms always connected, or only in certain situations? But the problem is, if you think about it long enough, you'll see that one situation could easily morph into the other. Because, for example, in the inheritance situation, so let's say one brother says, listen, I'm not just dumb, interested in stopping you from getting the land that's more valuable to you. I just feel that you should buy me out. So I'm not looking to make you suffer, I'm just looking to profit. So is that fundamentally different than the Dar b'chatzer chaver shol medaito situation. I'm looking to profit. So we said it's not stone like, it's human to want to profit. What is, what do you think? And again, we'll get into this in much more detail. What do you think on the surface? Does that make the two situations equal? Zach?
Well, it's the Mishnah Avos, that something that's human like could also be stone like. That,
well, so that's the question, how to understand that Mishnah, right? So he's referring to the fact that the Mishnah says that if somebody's attitude is what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours, that sounds pretty reasonable, not bad or good. And one opinion of the Mishnah is that that's Midah Beinonis, that's just an average trait. But the other opinion is that that's Midah Stone. But based on what we're saying here, that the guy who wants to charge for the hotel room that it turned out to happen that he didn't know about, so is that Stone-like per se, or is that just he wants to profit? And the conclusion is, sorry, it's not justified to profit when there was nothing, no skin off your back. But in the case with the inheritance, it's not, on the surface, it's not that he wants to profit, it's that he wants to make the other guy suffer. So that's Stone-like. He doesn't want to see anyone else benefit, even if it doesn't make a difference to him. But what if we say, we let's monetize this? Says, no, it does make a difference. I want to charge you for that. So I want money. So, okay, you know, sometimes it's justified, sometimes it's not. But here, it doesn't come from a desire to see the other guy suffer. It comes from a desire just to profit. So is that as evil? Or does that equalize the two cases? Now, it could still mean it's not justified to demand that, but maybe it's not as bad. So that's something that we'll have to investigate. Again, there'll be a Gemara in our parak, so we'll save most of the details for that. But it's still not really comparable, because in the case of the inadvertent Airbnb, so at least I am providing you with something of mine that's of use to you. In the case of the land, it's still basically extortion. That really we should have equal rights to each half. But because you have this reason why you could profit more, so I want to kind of hold that against you. Except you could theoretically still twist it again and say, no, I'm not trying to extort you. It's just the fact is you're going to get more profit from having this land. So there's going to be extra. So I want to a portion of that profit. But that comes from his own previous investment. So you see there's a lot of stud in Mekan and Lekan. So Be'ez Hashem, that's what we will explore. But I'm bringing it up now because L'maisa, it affects this taxi case. All right, so this, just as a matter of practicality, so Rabbi Levine was maintaining that the person who provides this ride is not able to charge. And not only can't he charge, but he should reject any offer from the beneficiary to pay. Because it's just completely out of the realm of anything that should be paid for, and it's completely antithetical to our values to even accept it. So that's a big chiddush. Not everyone would necessarily agree. And that's something that we'll see. I asked Rav Schechter about it at the time. Rav Schechter and Rav Levine were first cousins, actually. And so he was masking that it's a big chiddush, that he didn't think that was necessarily the conclusion. So, you know, at any moment you can decide you're a taxi. You can decide, not necessarily legally as far as licensing, but as far as the mumnus between the two parties, so you could decide, okay, from now on I want to start charging people for rides. So you didn't think it was necessarily in this category of kofon bidaston, but that's something that we'll see in that sugya. But just as far as it supplements this discussion of the scenario here, it's a factor that's worth being aware of. Okay, so we will move on to Daf Vav next time, and now we will Daf Mincha. We have a